I'm Jackie Vetrano from Skidmore College.
And I'm Logan Bishop from Belmont University. You're listening to Higher Ed Social.
Here we go.
Yeah, I'm definitely wearing my Sriracha shirt right now, so...
That's fantastic.
Wait, you wear shirts? Dang, now I'm way underdressed.
It's pants. Pants are a different story, but...
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you work on the internet, you never need pants.
It's true. I've worked from home for like 7 years, and I will say I do wear pants regularly, but...
For you.
That's more so out of trying to keep some semblance of a routine going. Showers and pants. There was a woman I used to work with. She had a Salesforce task set up every day to remind her to wash her hair because she worked from home.
You got to do something, I guess.
You got to remind yourself, because otherwise you forget, because you just work.
That's why I kind of like not working at home, because I just kind of want things to be separated.
I hear you. I built an office in my basement purely to separate things. So I've got my basement nook.
Yeah, I've got a closet that I record a podcast in, and I have a swiveling chair and a fold-out table and an Xbox 360 and a copy of Joe Hill's The Fireman, and that's what the microphone sits on top of. So,
are we in your closet right now?
We are in the closet right now.
Yeah, Logan, turn your camera on. Turn to show.
You can see my Sriracha shirt.
He's in a literal closet, like not like, oh, I turned this closet into a studio. Like he's sitting amongst his clothes.
Why would you turn? Why would you turn it into a into an actual whatever? Because the clothes actually baffled the sound perfectly. So I don't really need anything like that. I just need sound baffling. And that's
fantastic.
I actually learned this from another one of our guests because he did the same thing. And I was like, I should try that.
So the audio quality that guest came on has increased significantly.
Yeah, you can actually tell when I started using the closet. If you go back and listen to episodes, and I forgot which episode I switched on, but
PC and non-PC and post-C, I guess. Pre-closet and post-closet.
Well, it was echoey before, so.
BC and AD, I guess.
I guess. I know in higher ed, we always have to have acronyms for stuff. But I've never thought about that acronym.
And now we miss the entire whole crux of what would have been a great great podcast.
Oh, we're keeping this.
Oh, this is great.
Yeah, we already hit record.
Oh, sweet.
Surprise. So welcome. This is the show.
Awesome.
Feeling good?
Ready? In Logan's closet. That's the name.
Yeah. We're actually all in Logan's closet right now, listeners.
We are. We really are.
It's very comfortable.
For the viewing audience, it's actually what's happening right now. He has really nice shirts.
Nice. Don't try them on. You're not allowed to try on Logan's shirts.
They wouldn't fit. I'm way too big. Let's be honest. You got nice ties, too, though. I might steal one of those.
Oh, well, thanks.
Power tie.
I've been kind of rebellious at work lately. I haven't been wearing a tie.
Hey, neither have I.
Oh, wait, dare you. Neither. I don't have we have a fairly casual office. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that loudly, but we're pretty late.
We have about as volume of a listener. It's fine.
That is true. Sorry if anyone in my office is listening, but we're pretty cash, especially in the summer.
We're business casual, but I wear a tie because, I don't know, it makes me feel better.
I feel the same way, to be honest. When I go to a conference, like, that's my dress-up time.
Yeah.
I tried one time to pull off the nice jeans and like a sport coat look.
Yeah, me too. It doesn't work for me.
I feel underdressed. There are people that can rock it and people that look great and they're awesome thought leaders and they're amazing people. For me, I've got to wear my suit, and it's funny because I got my suit in China when I was working at Chegg, and we went to our China office 1 year. We did the whole like super discounted silk market thing, and I got like a tailor-made suit for like $100 in four days. So it was pretty solid. So I'm going to wear that. And one of my coworkers is like, why are you buying anything at the silk market? It's all cheap. It's all fake. I've had that suit for like 5 years and it's not falling apart yet. So I'm pretty good. And I travel a lot and go to a lot of conferences. So it's a pretty solid suit. Not going to lie.
Nice.
That's impressive. So
only downside of a tailor-made suit is you can't gain a lot of weight because that is true. Tailor-made suit doesn't fit anymore. So yeah.
Then you have to get it retailored.
Yeah, and that's not happening. Because that's when it'll fall apart. I get that. So.
Well, I'm on a mission right now to start eating better, and I'm finally to that point. Usually you make resolutions in, January.
Just in time for the NCAT conference. I'm going to eat better. Great, Logan. Great.
Yeah, I went through this, the last month or two, all I've had are sodas and junk food. So it's time to pull that back. And I also stopped running, which was not good. And now I had a really great run today. So I'm ready to get back into it and maybe run some 5Ks because it's that season again, or at least it's getting that way.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, fortunately for me, the NACAC conference, they're not having a 5K this year because Boston is too complicated to try to organize it around the convention center. So
that's true.
They're doing like a yoga thing instead. So
I'll do yoga. Because that's the same thing.
There you go.
Hey, yoga's pretty hardcore sometimes, though, depending on.
That's true. I'm not dissing yoga. It's just two different, very different things. Like, I would imagine, everybody, let's go run on treadmills. But
yeah, that would.
They're just very different things.
This is true. It's just like the jeans and the sport coat versus a suit. Two very different things.
Right. Well, so why don't you tell us about you? I mean, no one really knows what your name is yet.
So I'm Gil Rogers. I'm the director of marketing for NRCCUA, which is the National Research Center for College and University Admissions. I actually am in transition to NRCCUA now. I was at Chegg for about 6 years before this. In January, Chegg and NRCCUA entered into a partnership to combine Chegg's digital marketing services with NRCCUA's student research and direct student engagement resources and those sorts of things. So it was a really cool opportunity to support that partnership in the early going, and then over time, identify that, NRCCUA is just an exciting place there's a lot of really, innovative things going on. And that's what I've always kind of wanted to be is, at a place that helps students and schools connect better and help, simplify the admissions process. So I'm excited that my first official day at NRCCUA is actually next week.
That's exciting.
Things up at Chegg. I've got, everything in transition, moving my office from the same spot in my basement to the same spot in my basement. So I'm excited about that. So getting ready for,
Are you getting a plant at least?
And all that stuff. What's that?
Are you going to get a plant?
A plant? Yeah, I should get a new plant.
But there's no light in the basement.
I mean,
I can make that happen. Moss is good.
Okay.
There's one window in my basement office. So I could, in theory, get a plant. It would have to be like a small plant, maybe like an aloe plant. Who knows? So I should do something to celebrate on the first day next week.
Yeah,
you can get one of the little bamboo things.
Part about remote work is the office happy hours are a little depressing. I'm always the last one to leave.
I will join you for a virtual office happy hour anytime.
Oh, yeah. So
just give me
happy hours. They're what's up.
Yeah, I'm in. I'm totally in.
One of the things that I was excited about was, after we connected on Twitter, I was like, oh man, it's Gil. I haven't seen Gil since our old days back at Hobson's conferences and back when we were doing enrollment management technology and stuff and managing it for our universities. And look how far we've come.
Look at that. The more things change, the more they stay the same, right?
I know, right?
It's fantastic. Yeah. I remember that it was a StayMates conference that we were at and like you were the life of that show. Like you'd thrown out some sort of you'd answered a question at some point during a panel, like you were in the audience during a panel, but then like the rest of the session, the guy kept pointing back at you. And like Logan said, like Logan's doing, like, I was like, I want to be that guy. I want to be the guy it's pointed at during the session that's not on the stage. That's influence right there. You know, there's thought leadership and then there's influence, and we need more of that. So you're the man, Logan. That's all I got
to
say.
How much did you pay him to say that? Jeez.
The check is still getting cashed.
Yeah, I'd be nervous. That thing might bounce.
I think you were at University of New Haven at that point.
Yes. Yeah. So I got my start. In admissions. I actually told this joke to my neighbor. So you know, when you work in higher ed technology and you have your office in your basement and you're traveling a lot, your neighbors don't really know what you do for your work, right? Mm-hmm. So my neighbor was asking me yesterday, so what is it that you do? So I started explaining to her what it is that I do. And my first statement was, you know, when I graduated, I didn't want to get a real job, so I got a job in college admissions. And she laughed because, you know, one of her friends who was at her party on the neighborhood was a college admissions counselor. And I explained to her, it was all in good fun, but I joked around that, you know, when I graduated, I wanted to go work at a Boy Scout camp all summer. And the only way to do that was find a job that started in the fall. So University of Hartford was where I first worked. And that was, the position started September 1st. So that was perfect. I got to go work up at the canoe camp, paddle around the Boundary Waters for a few months, and then drive across country and start my job. And, you know, when I was done with it, I was a 2-year grad assistant contract position. And when I was done with that, I wasn't done, right? I didn't want to leave. So University of New Haven hired me and I had a great time there. And then, you know, being able to kind of just stay in the higher ed enrollment technology space since. So it's one of those things that, you know, nobody goes to school for college admissions, right? Nobody goes to school for, you know, for enrollment technology, but somehow these jobs just kind of find people and you have to have a certain passion for higher education to be able to do it. And, you know, I think at least two of the three of us, Logan, on this call have that passion. I can't speak for myself. I don't know. So,
well, I don't do as much enrollment technology as I used to. I still do a little bit. I still help out with our CRM system, but I've moved on to marketing and now I do social media, websites, and video. So I'm like the digital media manager. So still at Belmont, though.
Still at Belmont. Still changing lives, right? So,
hey, I've seen Belmont grow. We just passed 8,000 students on Wednesday. So actually 80-80 was the number.
Nice.
Yeah.
You did that on purpose.
No, we didn't. That was literally the number.
Yeah, but pre summer melt, that was like 20,250 students, so it was a bad summer.
Actually, our melt wasn't too bad this year, but yeah, this was a good year. We were really excited by the fact that, you know, we actually reached record enrollment for freshmen, and just about every stat was a record this year. So we were pretty happy.
That's fantastic. Well, congratulations.
Yeah. Everybody. I didn't do that much. It was mostly the admissions folks. They can take all the credit.
There you go. Well, this is probably going to get me in some trouble for saying this, but there's, you know, that healthy relationship between the marketing team, which would be you and your office, and the quote unquote sales team of the organization. Right. And it you have to work together and have to have, you know, a cohesive relationship between those two groups. And I think that, and I don't mean to say that all admissions people are salespeople, but they're the outbound representative of the institution. Right. And so for them to have your support and for them to support you, it's important. That has to work everywhere. Otherwise you're going to run into problems.
Well, that's one of the really awesome things about where I am in the position that I'm in is that I was in admissions. And oddly enough, when I left admissions, a lot of the stuff that I did still stuck with me. So I still have a very strong relationship with admissions. I still do a lot of stuff with them. And our team, our marketing team, back, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, I'm not going to say that we had a bad relationship with admissions, but it wasn't as close-knit as it is now. We design all of our admissions materials in-house. All of our admissions marketing is done, you know, very closely with admissions, obviously. So we do a lot of cool and awesome things that, you know, I never thought we'd ever do. And it makes me happy. We have a really good relationship. And I have a really good relationship with my old boss, the Associate Provost and Dean of Enrollment. So we get to work together on a lot of stuff, and it makes me happy.
That's awesome.
It's the best kind of relationship, you know?
Yep. Yep. I've seen that taking place. That type of alignment is pretty cool to watch. Over the past couple of years, it's been getting better and better, I think. I've started going to the, you know, American Marketing Association Symposium for Higher Ed. And, you know, you go to conferences like the NACA conference, or you go to like High Ed Webs or those sorts of things. And there used to be this kind of real separation between the two areas. And I think that more and more we're starting to see a better alignment between the two. And some of that's driven by, you know, strategic imperative. And then I think part of it's just driven by people getting it over time. I think, you know, obviously higher ed is always a little bit behind kind of mass market stuff like businesses and those sorts of things. But I think, you know, there's in the business world, there's that healthy push and pull and alignment between marketing and sales, and, you know, marketing and admissions at college and universities has to have that similar relationship. And I think getting to that and having that be a, you know, a strategic, you know, alignment, you know, if everybody reports into the same VP, or everybody, you know, report, or if everybody's working in the same group, they're working for the same goals, they understand what each other, if admissions people go into marketing, like in your situation, you know, they better at serving the collective group because they understand where those people are coming from. And that's
right.
That's what we need more. We need more cooperation from that, because that's what's going to help with what I've been kind of on the crusade for since I went to Zinch from New Haven, and then from when Zinch was acquired by Chegg and now Chegg the NRCCUA. It's like the whole drum that's been being beaten is, you know, simplifying the admissions process, making it less stressful for students, better matching between students and schools, better use of data. And that comes with marketing and admissions working together at each step of the process. So the more and more of that is done, I think the better off everyone is, from the top officer at the institution to that, you know, first year freshman coming on campus. I think there's you know, still a lot of work to be done, but I think we're heading in the right direction.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think I really do think that, at least at Belmont, it's that everyone is starting to realize that the silo thing is not a thing, right? So, you know, we actually report through development and external relations, and admissions reports up through the provost. We work together because, you know, that's just what we should do, you know? That's just kind of it's just what you should do. And it makes me happy. And it makes me happy that we had that realization without having to completely realign everything from a structure standpoint. And I think at Belmont, everyone from professors to the folks that do landscaping and everything realize, you know, they're an admissions officer. You know, landscaping folks, they're out there. People give tours. They say hi to the people getting the tours, you know, you know, even everyone's a development officer. Everyone, you know, should speak up and say good things about the university and, you know, welcome back our alumni and all of that kind of fun stuff. It's really just a realization, you know, across the entire campus that everybody is dependent on everyone else, which is great. I mean, it's really awesome to work at a place like that. Now, it's not like that, like everywhere, I don't guess. Even at Belmont, I'm sure there are professors that don't really care.
It's always the faculty, right? No.
Well, it's not just the faculty, but I would say our faculty are really awesome at it. But, you know, there's always people. But I feel like the majority of the university, everybody's behind, you know, what we're trying to do, which is to make Belmont a better place, a more welcoming place, a place where, you know, students succeed, and not just succeed, but, you know, go on to engage and transform the world. So, yeah, little mission statement there.
There you go. There you go. What's it like at Skidmore?
In terms of like our admissions goals?
Well, admissions and marketing alignment and all that fun stuff.
Yeah. It's
just working with each other. And
so I came from working at a 2-year institution, and marketing for admissions at a 2-year is very different than a 4-year because you're not trying to get the whole country to come to your institution. You're really focused on like the community aspect. So when I started working at Skidmore and I learned about like the possibility of tapping types of students that really the school is looking for and how we work with Chegg, how we can acquire those names and how we can target them was like mind blowing to me. And so we in our office of marketing in the larger division of communications and marketing actually have someone whose title is admissions communications manager. So he works in marketing, but he is basically 100% focused on admissions the whole time. I don't know if that's common or not, but it's nice because even though I, as social media manager and then like our graphic designer and a bunch of other players help out with admissions efforts, we also are helping out with athletics and advancement and student affairs and alumni relations. So we're like spinning all the plates, but he is keeping us like on track and like holds the calendar and is like, don't forget, we have to do this. Don't forget, we have to do that. And it's like a lifesaver to me. So I don't know, Logan, do you guys have someone like that?
We do. Our assistant director of enrollment marketing, but she actually is in admissions. So she kind of acts as the liaison. I actually work with her a whole lot on things, all from videos, websites, email, templates, everything. But she kind of is the voice of what kind of stuff admissions needs. And we actually have a meeting called our strategic marketing team meeting, where we all kind of sit down every couple of weeks and talk about enrollment marketing and what we're going to do strategically, like what's our goals, all those kinds of fun things. So
is she in your office or is she in admissions?
She's actually, what's weird is that she reports to admissions, but her office is in a random building, in our Janitor's Academic Center. So she reports to the Associate Provost and Dean of Enrollment. But her office isn't over there because they didn't have the space for her. So she kind of lives in this kind of in an office in another building. But you know, we all kind of coordinate together. I talk to her on a weekly basis. I owe her a lot of stuff next week, so I'm definitely talking to her a lot.
You know where she went wrong was she didn't build an office in the basement like I did. See, it all comes full circle.
See, my office is in a basement, but I don't have a window.
Therein lies paint a window on the door on the wall. Make it feel like you have a window.
I have a 27 inch screen, so I just put
a window to the outside world. So
I
there
just
you
put
go.
A nice pretty like beach scene there. I think that's what I've got right now.
There you go. There you go. Jackie, you said you actually, sorry to pivot the conversation a little bit, but you said something interesting about recruiting the entire country, which is interesting because I think a lot of 4-year institutions, you know, look at it that way. They want to be able to tout, we have, you know, students from all 50 different countries and, you know, or 50 different states and, you know, 400 different countries or whatever it is, right? And it's like,
not that I can say that we have students from every state in 25 countries, but
see,
you know,
there you go. See, so it's good for marketing claims, right? But is it necessarily best for serving of students? And for many institutions, it can be, right? And you know, if the student comes there and they're a great fit, that's fine. It doesn't matter if where they came, what state they come from at that point. It's are they a good fit for the institution? But right. I was at the EdgeVenture Summit earlier this year, and Kim Reed, who's the principal analyst at EdgeVenture, she's super smart, way smarter than I am. She was, which is actually not that big of a compliment because most people are, but she presented. They had like the EdgeVentures did their annual, they call it the prospective student survey, and they poll, you know, thousands of students of, you know, client institutions and students in the NRCCUA database, et cetera, et cetera. And what they identified was specific student mindsets. So it's not really, it's not just, you know, most of the time when we think about diversity on campuses, it's, you know, geographic diversity, it's ethnic diversity, it's, you know, income level, it's that kind of survey data type stuff of, you know, demographic info, right? But what they identified were like these different student mindsets. So based on so rather than just recruiting by demography, recruit by, you know, student persona, where you say, you know, these students fall into this category of, you know, socially focused or experiential focused or, you know, grad school bound or whatever it is. They have like six different categories that fall into. But when you start thinking about it that way, it really changes the way that you think about building your campus community, because you start to look at, you know, what type of student from a persona perspective is actually a good fit. And then you also start looking at, you know, how do we change that? How do we adjust our messaging based on what those students actually care about, right? So this goes back to that marketing and admissions alignment thing. But, you know, how can we, you know, build a special comm track based on not just where the student's from or, you know, what their skin color is, but what about, you know, what they want to do with their life, what they envision themselves at the college doing, what they envision themselves graduating and doing, right? Like if you could tap into that, I think that's just a super powerful way to think about your, you know, enrollment marketing messaging and really changing how, like Logan, you mentioned you're working with the CRM system still, you know, how do you build, you know, different comm flows based on that criteria? Because right. It's not just about demographic info. That is part of it for sure. And I think that there's something to think about with, you know, underserved populations and, you know, students from various income levels. Those are important, very important, critical things to think of when building your class and what your mission is. But when you're building out comm plans, it's more than just, you know, what level of income they check off for their parents, you know, or what their zip code is, right? It's all those other softer touch type things that I think aren't necessarily utilized as much as they could be with this messaging. And then it's not, you know, Jackie, your comment on, you know, recruiting all 50 states. It's not recruiting all 50 states. It's recruiting the right personas for students who are going to, you know, come to the institution, be prepared to succeed and actually be happy and, you know, graduate as successful alumni. And that should be the ultimate goal.
Right.
Sorry, I'm looking off my soapbox.
No, it's interesting because, you know, back when you and I got into this business, the amount of data that existed is nothing compared to what exists now.
Yep.
And granted, I'm out of the enrollment technology world, but I can imagine just the amount of information that you're able to pull to create these personas, to find people that would make a good fit at the university. Or the institution.
Go ahead.
I'm just amazed by what's out there.
Yeah, we just did like, not really, I don't want to call it a rebrand, but have kind of refreshed our image a little bit. And part of that was redeveloping our view book. And aside from creating a new print piece, we are starting to develop like what we were calling a digital experience where we're actually kind of using that logic about finding the student that fits our school instead of only going after someone that fits either a gender or a race or a state or a country. And so in this digital experience, students are kind of identifying what's important to them and who they are as a person. And we're actually giving them a quote, we're calling them personas internally. I don't know if we're going to give it a schnazzier name externally, but we're basically kind of giving them, it's like a personality test a little bit. And we're giving them a persona based on that personality test. And we're saying, oh, okay, you know, like you're someone who you know, is really into academics and hands-on learning, here are the things at Skidmore that you'll really enjoy. Like, here's our library, here's our internship experiences, here's our collaborative research experiences, or like, you really like adventuring and being outside. Like, we have all of these like very adventurous opportunities, but also in the classroom. And like, it's, so we're kind of helping them see themselves at the college aside from just like, oh, it has the major that I want kind of thing.
Yeah, and that's I working at Chegg and Zinch before that, you know, the challenge we identified a lot was, you know, you think about college search tools, right? Whether it's one of the ones we've built or one of the dozens that are out there now, the challenge is always, it basically all they are filters, right? Like, what major are you interested in? What state are you interested in going to school? And, you know, what grade are you, right? And that, it just filters down the schools based on that criteria. And then, you know, some companies do a better job of marketing their matching technology or whatnot. But at the end of the day, most, you know, college search type tools are just filters, right? You're just filtering a list. And, you know, if we as, you know, providers of support, whether it's a company that does college matching, or if it's a school trying to recruit students who they've identified, or if it's a, you know, a marketing department building that message and how those things and what those students should be hearing and seeing, if we can go beyond just filtering and get into that, you know, true matching of content to interests that the students have, that I feel like is the powerful kind of next big thing of, you know, enrollment marketing and enrollment management, you know, admissions recruitment stuff, right? Because I think, and like Logan, like you mentioned, you know, the amount of data that we have now that we didn't have 6-7 years ago to be able to do that type of segmentation, do that type of, you know, discovery leading for students is something we haven't had. And we're still trying to figure out fully, but there's so much opportunity there to really, you know, like I said, the drum that I've been beating for 6-7 years now is, you know, how do we make that process easier for students and get rid of this, you know, it's not just the postage and the printing of the mail, right? Postage and printing of mail is secondary, I think, to thinking about that student who's never gone through this process before, doesn't understand anything, what they're doing, what they're talking about, having to sift through the noise to figure out what is actually important, what is actually impactful. If we can do a better job with matching and a better job with messaging, we eliminate that confusion. And then the cost savings of the stamp on the ViewBook goes along for the ride. But it's not about lowering cost of enrollment. It's about helping students get a better experience through the process. And that's what is really exciting about things like, honestly, what you're doing, Jackie, at Skidmore.
Yeah.
So what are
mic
you
drop.
Most excited? I was gonna say that, yeah, I, that like, don't have any, drop. I just have, like, I'm nodding my head the whole time as you're talking. It's like, well, yeah. But I'm interested to hear like what you're in the middle of transitioning to a new job. What were you doing at Chegg, and I guess what are you excited about as you transition?
Yeah, so I mean, what was it? It was funny when Logan was talking about the podcast. You know, he framed it as, you know, it's like having a conversation at a conference, and I was like, oh, well, then I do have to go get a drink, right? Because when am I having conversations?
Yeah.
Conference where we're not having a drink of some kind. Mm-hmm. So a big part of my job at Chegg is, you know, presenting at conferences on research that we've done on student insights and perspectives on, you know, use of social media for engaging with schools and transfer students and what impacts those that population. I've gotten to do some really exciting things with, you know, folks like Eric Sickler from Thornburn Group, which is a StayMates company. You know, the folks at TargetX on the social admissions report, whether it's been Brian Niles or Sasha Peterson. So we've had great opportunity. Michael Stoner at M. Stoner on our myth busting study. So doing, and that was me name dropping for 35 seconds.
Yes.
So I
remember many of these people.
Yeah. So it's, so doing that, you know, doing those research studies is something I'm passionate about, because I told my old boss at Chegg, if I could have a job to just be an evangelist on behalf of students, like, that would be my dream job. Ultimately, obviously, you have to get someone that wants to pay you to do that. But the so what's lucky for me is that NRCCUA, you know, being a great partner of Chegg on, you know, combining the the Chegg digital engagement services with their, you know, traditional outreach, but also a lot of really cool data driven things going, you know, that they're working on with, you know, just better matching technology and whatnot. I get to do a lot of those similar things where I'll continue to work. What's cool though is about a year and a half ago, NRCCUA bought Edge Ventures, which is a, you know, top line research firm for higher education. So now we've got, you know, 11 analysts that do great research studies for everything from enrollment focused things to online program management, service providers to technology, you know, providers, whatever it is. Like, they do so much stuff. And so to be able to have a great group of people that are doing some really exciting studies year round and be able to help with, you know, broadening who reads those studies and who gets access to that content. That's really exciting for me. So it's similar in a lot of respects. Still going to do the conference circuit, still going to do the presenting research study thing, but then also having a lot of other folks to help get their message out and stuff as well. So, you know, if I'm explaining to my, like what we're talking about earlier, if I'm explaining to my neighbor, you know, what it is that I do, you know, I help, the core tenets of my prior job and my future job are the same. It's, you know, helping to simplify the college search process for students by helping college admissions and marketing departments make data informed decisions, and better reach their prospects. So that's my, fortunately, both business cards, I'm doing the same thing.
Well, good. Your experience then.
Yeah, there we go.
Well, in go ahead.
No, go ahead.
In your research on social media, because, you know, the millennials, that's the only way we can talk to them now. What was something that was the most, like, surprising to you, either in how they use it or how they're using it to find college information?
Yeah, I mean, I think what's interesting is when you look at, you know, every year there's, you know, Huffington Post, New York Times or whatever publishes an article about, you know, Facebook is dead for teens, right? And there's definitely been, you know, kind of a downward trend in day-to-day usage for sure. Like, that's not debatable. It's been shown, you know, in all different types of cuts of data and everything else. But when you look at platforms like Facebook specifically for the college search, it's actually over the past 4 years been trending upwards with respect to relevance for college information. So when students are using Facebook day to day, it's not their top platform. It's not their most popular platform anymore. They're not super active on it. But when you ask them about college information, it's their number one. You know, because I think a big, and we, you know, Kim Reed at Edge Ventures and I've had some conversations about this and whatnot, but, you know, there's that certain element of, you know, in many ways, colleges have trained students that, you know, this is where you go if you want to do social with college. We have a Facebook page. It's here. Whereas I think it's also, so I think that's a big part of it, because, you know, it's on our view book. It's on the icons on the footer of the website, right, which, right. You know, eExpectations this year, showed that, you know, many students, like two out of three students, are finding your social media by clicking on the icons on your website, right? So they go to your .edu and then they find your social via that stuff. So that's some pretty cool kind of engagement type insight that people don't really think about. But it's, you know, to abandon Facebook, I think, would be a strategic mistake for most institutions. I don't think many are. But if you were to read, you know, Huffington Post every year, and it's all, you know, I think 2 years ago some student was, I'm 16 and I don't use Facebook. And that was like the, you know, sample size of one, but we're going to make, you know, decisions.
Facebook is dead. Long live Facebook.
I remember that. Yeah,
exactly. So I think that there, and then obviously engagement of parents and all that sort of stuff. You have to think about those things as well. But
how about international students or transfer students or even adult students?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, with international, it's interesting because, you know, Facebook may be huge in one market, but like in China, it's not, right? Because it's blocked, right? So then you have to have your own, you know, China strategy that's specific there, right? With Weibo and WeChat and everything else. So there's different things into, there's me dropping my limited China knowledge on y'all.
More knowledge of China than I knew. So
there you go. Well, you know where it is. You can find it on a map.
Yes.
But it's social for higher ed, social for enrollment marketing is just interesting because, you know, for a time, I think everybody was chasing the shiny object. Every 6 months there was a new thing. And I feel like past couple of years it's been relatively calm. I mean, obviously Snapchat has come up, but like for a couple of years it was like every 6 months there was a new thing to try. And now it's a little bit more, you know, we can be a little bit more strategic. And like Snapchat is one of those ones where students aren't using it to find college info, but they sure as heck will engage with you when they're on your campus. They'll use your filter and take a selfie by the statue, right? Like there's cool things that you can do with Snapchat that's more local in nature and, you know, immediate engagement versus mass marketing. So it's that type of stuff that we do the research on and uncover is, you know, what can we do to make sure with limited resources and time and bandwidth of people and budget to buy eyeballs, right, with sponsored content and all that sort of stuff, you know, what is the best place to put all of the different eggs that are in your basket? And, you know, Facebook is one of those ones where if you only read, you know, the annual Facebook is dead articles, you wouldn't think to use it. But because they own Instagram, which is blowing up all the time now too, you know, there's ways to use those platforms strategically aligned with all those student personas and all that kind of good stuff to better reach those students on those platforms. So that's definitely one of the more fun research studies. One of the more anticipated ones every year is the social admissions report. So we like that one.
That's so neat. I could talk forever about data and research, like my secret passion.
Not so secret.
I love it.
You run a podcast about it. It's not that big of a secret.
I love it. It's so much fun. Data and numbers. We'll have to have you back for just like a total download on like one research study that you had done.
And sure.
Sadly, it goes so fast. Time flies when you're having fun.
Yes. Yes, it does.
So thank you, Gil. We really appreciate you being here with us. And listeners, we appreciate you sticking with us. Head down to highered.social. You can check out some links to the stuff that we talked about today. And you can also subscribe to us. We're over on Apple Podcasts and we're also on Stitcher. And please give us a review. We really appreciate it. It lets us know if we're doing a good job or not. And it also helps us get up there on the top of iTunes charts. So we really appreciate it. You can also follow us on Twitter at HES Podcast. And you can send us a tweet if you want to be on the show, if you want to just say hey, if you want to connect with Gil, you can tweet us anyway. It would be super fun. And thank you guys for listening to Higher Ed Social.